Blog Talk Radio.
Every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Come on, Timothy. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name. Break every chain, break every chain. Oh, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain.
Let's say there is power.
There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power in.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to
break every chain.
Break every chain. Come on, say to
break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an arm. Power.
Well, amen, and praise the Lord. I pray that that worship song is and has been a blessing to you. Breaking Every Chain by Tasha Cobb. Welcome to CCTI Unit 4. We are excited about what is forthcoming and what the Lord is doing. And so we are going to see how doing CCTI online via Blog Talk is actually going to work for us. I'm not sure. This is the first time we've done it this way. But if it doesn't work for you all, just let me know. If you are listening and you have any questions or concerns, you can text me at 773-779-2900. Again, if you can't hear me or if it's not clear or you have any questions or concerns, you can text me at 773-779-2900. That is also the way that we are going to be taking attendance, is through you texting me at 773-779-2900. You can just text me when you come online. And then that way we can ensure that your lines are open. That way we can have some open dialogue. I am excited about what the Holy Spirit is doing in us and through us as we are proceeding forward in this Unit 4 of CCTI. We're actually doing multiple classes at one time, and I think that that is going to be fun, interesting, and intriguing because each person is on their own personal journey, their own personal process with the Holy Spirit. And so it's kind of like that. Let's sit down and kind of have tea and take some time and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to you and through you, through your individual studies. And so I believe that the best way to allow this to go forward, because I realize we are using multiple books, is as you do each chapter and you answer 20 questions out of the test that you have, you'll read each chapter, you'll answer the 20 questions. During our time together on Blog Talk, we can address what has come up in your studies. What are some of the things that the Holy Spirit has deposited in you that you would like to share? And so that's how we can move forward with this. That way it won't matter who's on in what book and where you're at in your process, because it is still your personal time and your personal journey with the Holy Spirit. But this will, however, give us the opportunity to come together and share what the Holy Spirit has given you. So your lines are open. If there are any questions or if you're not sure how this is going to work, at this time you can take your personal phone off of mute and I can address whatever question and or concern and or even suggestion that you might have at this time. So your line is open. I think it's probably safe to say then, by the silence, that there's no question or concern. All right, then let's have a word of prayer. So, Father, we bless you and we honor you. We thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah. You are God all by yourself. God, we thank you that we have the God, there is none like you. We bless you, Lord God, for that which you are doing. We bless you, Lord God, for your will. We thank you, Lord God, that it supersedes our understanding. We thank you, Lord God, that not only does it supersede our understanding, but Father, that which you have revealed to us, that which you have made available to us, Lord, we bless you, Lord God, that it is all part of a process. We thank you, Lord, that you take us from glory to glory. Thank you for the richness of your word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power in your word. We thank you for the power in your word to change and to transform us. We ask, Father, that not our will, but that thy will be done, that you are right. Pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we would be recipients of a peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you, Lord God, that you cause us to prosper. You cause us to be in good health. We thank you for divine healing. We thank you for emotional healing, spiritual healing, relational healing. We thank you, Lord, that you're causing us to be relationally healthy and whole. And so, Father, we ask that you would bless those who have positioned themselves to hear this lesson. And we pray, Father God, that you would speak to us and through us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Again, your line is open so we can hear you. There is a few second delay, so just want to make sure that you all are hearing us. So are there any questions? Is there anything that you would like to share as it relates to this process that you have been in with your journal, with your book? No, okay. Well, let us journey forward there. We are going to look at some spiritual disciplines that I believe will just kind of be a blessing for us as it relates to our process. When we think about spiritual disciplines and what we and those spiritual disciplines and practices that we are actually receiving through our individual study, spiritual disciplines exist through the form of meditation, prayer, fasting, fellowshipping, journaling, stewardship, and many other areas. But what I want us to begin to do is we consider these spiritual disciplines for our development and our growth, is to begin to look at the fact that our disciplines are our habits and practices and experiences that are designed to develop us, to grow, to strengthen certain spiritual qualities in us. It's to build our spirit or to build our spiritual muscle, the spiritual muscle of our character, and to expand the breadth of one's inner life. And so we want to make sure that we are allowing ourselves some effective spiritual workouts. And so some of our spiritual disciplines are going to be personal. It's going to be our inward exercise that we practice. We're going to practice some of them we practice alone, and others require our interpersonal relationships and to be practiced, or experienced through our community, through our you know, our community, our family, and things like that. So, excuse me? Oh. Okay, so it's going to look like our stewardship, our submission, our obedience, our study, our evangelism, our confession. It looks like as we're on this journey, we should be doing some self-examination. We should, you know, as you're studying, allow yourself to spend some quiet time with the Lord. And in that quiet time, I believe some of the things that will happen as you are experiencing this quiet time with the Lord is that it's going to also bring you to a place of celebration. It'll bring you to a place of celebration. And so as you are going through this process, I want to, I definitely want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to minister His principles to you and through you as it relates to developing and strengthening those spiritual muscles. So as whether you're looking at victory over the self-centered life, or whether you're looking at Peter, or whether you're looking at the book of Job, it doesn't matter which of the four books that we are using that you are going through, each of them are being used to reveal something to us about ourselves, to reveal something to us about our God, and then to reveal something to us about how we're interacting with others. And so, does anybody want to share up until this point what that process has been like for them? No? Okay, I definitely all right. How are the questions working that you all are having to answer?
Excuse me, Apostle. This is the Evangelist Legit. I would like to share what I read and learned in the Victory Over the Self-Centered Life concerning the hardness of the heart, and how the heart issue presented itself in the Garden of Eden, and all through history, even though God says things concerning us, concerning our heart, those were the things that He had to rot out of us to make sure that we didn't have spot nor wrinkle. And I'm thinking more so on Job, who he presented or he challenged, because Satan thought he was challenging God concerning Job. But Satan was being set up to help Job do certain things through his friends concerning his heart. And when he acknowledged certain things concerning after Job, you know, was saying what he was and all of these things, God asked him a few questions that he couldn't possibly answer. And that's when he realized what was in his heart. And he immediately repented, confessed, you know, and that stuck out to me. We overlooked those things concerning Job, you know, eschewing evil, you know, resisting evil and loving God you know, but we didn't look, we don't go deep into that, which those are things that God put in him, or those things that God spoke over him before he was in his mother's womb, that that's what he is. And on earth had to agree with what God said. And that's a process. It's nothing instantaneous when it's done. Sometimes we go through life, you know, because we are saved, we think everything is okay, and we still walking, and things are being attached to us because those are open doors that we're not aware of. And we have to, and I'm speaking for myself, to myself too, that I have to stay before God, because it's a lot of things that I'm connecting together that I was aware, but it wasn't for me. But it is for me at the same time. As we walk, we will always go through these things, but at a different level. And they should be getting easier. And like people say, the only perfect person was Jesus. But he said, be perfect because the Father is perfect. So he would put it out there if we didn't have to walk into that. You know, if it was impossible for us to do it, it wouldn't be any sense for him to come down to show us the way, to let us know that our heart is imperfect, but we have to walk. And as we walk and learn those things, to eschew those things away from us, resist them, and in each level, and stay before God and hear him and be quick to repent on everything, not a lot of things, but everything, because we don't know what's in the heart. Only God knows.
Amen. Thank you, Evangelist Latrine, for sharing. And is there anybody else that would like to share? It doesn't matter which book, but anybody else like to share?
Hi, this is Sister Vera Adams. And since beginning the walk with Peter, it has really, really opened my eyes to a lot of things about myself and how teaching me on faith and building my faith even the more. Whereas in reading this and doing the questions, it's just blowing me away. It's really blowing my mind. And I stopped reading for a minute and then started reading True Christianity, and that blew my mind even the more. So I'm like, okay, guys, I'm seeing too much now. I haven't even touched Job. I can only imagine what's going to happen. But this is what I've been asking God for. And in my prayer time, that's what he reminds me. You asked me for this. Now I'm giving it to you. So it's like learning his word and being able to praise his word and beginning to stand on his faith, you know, standing on that faith and that trust and knowing that God has me no matter what. And it's amazing. It's amazing.
Amen. Well, that's what this should be. It is. I pray that this is so personal and intimate for each individual, and that you are allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you and give you that which you need in this journey. Are there any questions about what you've been reading?
This is Sister Vera Adams again. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In reading it, I know God uses our afflictions and our weakness to make us strong and all of that. And when I'm reading this, from growing up in the church, it makes me think, how can I put it? Out of the years of being in church, it seems as if a lot of, I can't even word it. Oh, God, help me to word this the correct way, Jesus. It seems as if a lot of people are off balance to me. And I'm trying not to look at nobody else and just look at myself. But what gets me is that people want you to have it, once you get saved, to have everything right and that you won't make those mistakes. But in reading on Peter and seeing all the stuff that Peter did, and it took him a while to get there, you know, why is it that they believe that we're supposed to be where they are opposed to being, you know, growing as Peter had to grow? I mean, I don't know if I'm saying that right. I know how I'm trying to say it, and I'm asking God to help me to explain it, but is it so much? Because nobody that's going to be on the same level. Everybody's on a different level. But why is it that when we're in church, we're expected to be at a level that we're not at? You know, instead of allowing God to take us through the steps and getting us there.
I think sometimes we don't understand the process. One of the scriptures that Timothy says is, praise every, blesses the fool with his, and Jesus grew. And he takes it through the steps, and Jesus grew in strength and in stature and favor. And I don't know that we understand that process, and we don't know within that process how we progress through it. And so we don't always give ourselves or give others the opportunity to go through process. We, you know, God took it from me, and so he must be taking it from you. God's requiring it of me, so he must be requiring it of you. And so it makes us void of these individual relationships with the Lord. And I think part of it is just because we don't know any better. We have an expectation of others that God does not have. It is, or should I say, our expectations are not always scriptural.
Okay.
They are religious. They are interpretive, but they are not scriptural. And part of the problem is we buy into it. So then we try to become what other people think we should be. And then we become so performance-driven. But what that does is it constantly reinforces a negative behavior.
Okay.
And also, Apostle, this is an overseer. In the book of Romans, Paul deals with the church, and it was the same, yeah, the same errors. And so, first of all, it's a strategy that the enemy uses, and people believe for salvation, but they don't necessarily believe for the continuing relationship, and they get stuck at just salvation. I'm saved from. And yet, even in that, we don't understand the fact that the influence and the power that the enemy had, he does no longer have on us. And so that's, I think you shared in the beginning, that's our spiritual muscles growing to understand that truly greater is he that's in us than in the world. But in the victory over the self-centered life, I think the part that just slapped me in the face was the fact that Satan is not the enemy. It's us. It is our thinking, and unless we surrender it to these truths and then allow these truths to manifest and change our behavior so that we become relational to these truths, then we will keep thinking in error. You know, we'll continue to go back to the old ways, and that's what Paul was telling the church. You were saved, now you want to get bound again with legalistic behavior, obeying the law. The whole point is the law could not be obeyed, which is why Christ came. And so now we don't understand that grace that came with Christ to enable us to walk away from those influences, because so many people are walking in the influence. And so we end up, instead of looking to God, looking to one another and deciding, well, that's what they're doing, that's how they're doing it, so that must be how I'm supposed to. And yet, what he starts sharing about us being our own enemy is the fact that these things are in us. And when we're saved, if we want to look at it that way, if we want to look at the law, then legally they can't be in us because Christ is. But getting to know him and then understand his function in our walking, you know, because we were really taught that we have to do this and we have to do that and we have to do the other, and to the point where it wasn't said verbally, but it was implied that our salvation was work-driven. So that's how we think it is. So we think others should be work-driven, and yet they're probably the purest form when they're not, because they don't know to be, but because we teach them that with our own actions, with our own programs, with our own structure of how we think things should go, our own standards. And then so many people that's in the body of Christ have not read the Bible. They've only heard what's been preached to them. They may have read passages, but they have not heard a word, which was God's way of introducing us to himself and to his process, his kingdom, and the fact that we will never believe that there's no good thing in us. We may think, yeah, there's some bad things, but he said there is no good thing in us. Everything is worthless. It's like a filthy rag. And we don't really believe that. You know, because we figure, well, I go to, you know, study, and I give my tithe, and I go to church every time, but there's still no good thing in us. And the only redeeming aspect of our life is that we're hidden in Christ. And we don't look at it that way. We get in him, but then we come out and we strut and we walk around with his robe of righteousness as though it is our own, and it isn't. And so this, you know, this statement, Satan is not our greatest problem. Just, you know, you go, well, yeah, he is. He's, you know. But he's saying the unredeemed, the unsurrendered, the unenlightened areas of the self-life are the biggest obstacles man faces, because we have a sin nature. And it's like as simple as that.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Overseer. Anybody else want to share?
And I'm just stuck, you know, with it, because one of the sisters said, it's just so profound, and it really slaps us in the face, the reality of it. And the author is really a proficient in giving us these lists of things that identify us. And in times past, often I can see a list of this, and I can see, yeah, that identifies Sister so-and-so or brother, whoever, or whatever, and whatever. But it's like, no, this is me. Pure and high is the key to keeping Satan out. So there's a key, a hedge. And there is a process, and you announce. It's like hypocrisy opens the door. You know, recklessness opens the door. Statements that we make open the door. The love for an evil habit opens. Forgiveness opens the door. Stubbornness opens the door. Insecurity opens the door. Imagination opens the door. The love of the world opens the door. And then the lack of discipline opens the door. And so it's all of these things that we have to take ownership of and then see how, and I think each one of them has a place in the 33 precepts that Christ gave us so that we can overcome it, so that we would know the way it should be in the kingdom. And even, you know, we hear love of the world, and most people say, no, no, I don't love the world. And yet he uses examples and things, you know, that you say, well, yeah, you know, that's just a habit. That's not really loving the world or just it seems like a simple thing, and yet it isn't. And now our eyes are being opened to that is called the love of the world. And so even this for me, looking at a program or even a movie, Sin, and one thing that the young man around this house, you know, he hears cursing, oh, my God, turn it off. It's the devil, you know, and it's like, oh, you know, some people curse. No, that's loving the world, and it's loving it, not that we love to hear him curse, but we enjoy, unfortunately, what we're looking at, and so we feel it should overpower the fact that, okay, yeah, they are doing some things that are wrong. Well, that's loving the world. That's not only just loving the world, but finding entertainment in what the world does. And as a result, we are so much of the fact that if they ate at a restaurant just sells alcohol, that the Lord showed them how they were promoting alcohol sales, and so they shouldn't do it anymore. And I know that's not for everybody. But they came into that revelation and that understanding, and it's as though as long as we do that, then we're not supporting the ones that don't. And so we don't support the ones that don't. Soon, they won't be anymore. And then all that's left is the things that the world has established that we found pleasure in. It's as simple as that. And so it's a growing and a going from that, but it is truly relational in how we view these areas, like I said, these myths that he is really, really good with. Unwillingness to admit a fault. Oh, my God. Sometimes that is like you could rather cut your tongue off than admit you were wrong about a thing, you know, because it just, you know, so those things open the door. That's it.
Well, amen, amen. Thank you, Overseer, for your insight and for sharing. Wow. Amen. Anybody else?
I just want to read this one statement he made on the unwillingness to admit fault. It says, sometimes the only way to recover ourselves from the snares of the devil is by admitting the truth about ourselves, rather than justifying our ways or defending our position. Often the only way to gain deliverance is first confessing, I have a problem. Because of the refusal of acknowledgement the truth about ourselves, it is not uncommon for a Christian to remain in bondage. Therefore, Satan continues to have dominion and power in that area of his life, It says Job was delivered from his trial only after he recognized and admitted his fault. That's it.
Jesus. Now, there's a place of conviction. Oftentimes, we don't see the deliverance that we're looking for because we don't see where we're at fault. We may have been able to do something better or something different, but not that we were at fault of doing something. And so that's a powerful statement. That's a powerful statement. Yeah. Well, it is definitely my prayer that you all will continue to read. You will, as you are reading it and answer your questions, you will allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, to teach you, to be a phenomenal teacher, to go on this journey. I think when we met last time together, we talked about just being able to, you know, go to a quiet place to sit down and invite the Holy Spirit to the table with you and to position yourself in a way to be able to hear him, to just kind of sit there with your recording device, whether it's paper, pencil, journal, pen, whether you're taping him, whatever the case may be, just to hear what is Holy Spirit going to say now that he has your undivided attention. Now that as you have opened your spirits up to a deeper truth, as you have opened your spirits up to a penetrating truth, what revelation will he give you? What will he share with you, about himself, about Jesus the Christ, and about Abba Father? So I definitely want to encourage that. Today is October 1st. We have two more classes. And then this unit actually is going to be over. That's amazing. We have the 8th and the 15th. And so then this unit will conclude, and we will prepare you all for what is forthcoming and the best way to do the forthcoming aspect of it, whether it's to continue this way or to meet face to face. And so we will look at that and make those necessary assessments. And so definitely look at your emails. You know, because information will be coming to you via your email, and so please keep that in mind. You have an opportunity, if you have any questions, don't forget that you can email us. If you have any questions, you can email us or you can give me a call at the 773-779-2900 number. That is not a problem at all. Any questions before we prepare to shift?
I have a question. This is Evangelist Lejean. My question you stated about the 20 questions. The 300 questions we had back when to pick 20 of those?
Those questions are for the books that you have. So whichever books you're working in, I've given you the appropriate test, and you just keep going to each section and choosing the questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no worries. And I think there was another question.
Yes, this is Minister Winslow. Are we to, by the end of a course, in the 2 weeks, complete all the questions in both books?
We probably will pick this up again, actually probably before the end of the year, or at least give you to the end of the year to finish your books.
Oh, okay.
So by no means do I want you to rush through it or anything. Allow it to be more of a journal for you, you know, and just in terms of taking your time, going through it. As Holy Spirit moves you to the next place, go to the next place. So which is why I really want to reiterate, if you don't sense that you should move forward, do not move forward. The goal isn't to finish it. The goal is to receive from it.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, no problem, no problem. Anybody else? All right. Well, enjoy the process. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Again, if you come up with any questions or concerns or suggestions or just testimonies that you want to share, insight, definitely feel free to give me a call or to text me or to email us, and we will meet again on next Monday, the 8th. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All right, bye-bye.